Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Taylor, Mrs. Reese's voice crackled across the fifth grade classroom, why aren't you paying attention? You need to stop squirming and get moving on your math. Taylor replied, glassy-eyed. I just can't concentrate. Could I please go into the hall and use the drinking fountain? Young man, Mrs. Reese sighed, you've already been to the drinking fountain twice and the restroom once since lunchtime. When are you going to settle down? Are we going to have recess? Taylor's friend Paul piped up. We didn't have it any day this week. Mrs. Reese pursed her lips. We don't have recess this semester. A groan went around the room. But you do have PE class every other Wednesday. Big deal, Paul muttered under his breath. Now, class, Mrs. Reese looked around at her fifth graders slumping in their chairs. Let's get back to work so we can use this extra class time productively. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about the value of recess in our children's school day? I'm Sandy Burt. Linda Perlis couldn't be with us today. She will join us next week. Charlene Bergeson is Executive Director of the National Association for Sport and Physical Education in Reston, Virginia. She has had 19 years of experience in physical education, sport, and physical activity promotion, 13 of them providing leadership and guidance at the national level. She has had extensive experience in teaching, coaching, and administration. She is the mother of an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Charlene.
It's a pleasure to be here to talk about this important topic.
What's the biggest myth about recess?
I think the biggest myth is that some people believe that recess does not serve any real purpose. And that is just so far from the truth. It is vital to the overall healthy development of our young people. In schools, sometimes the word play can be a bad word. We think academics, we think tests. And sometimes people minimize the importance of play.
Someone very smart said play is the work of childhood.
It absolutely is. Many parents are probably quite interested in what's happening across our country as far as how much recess our elementary school students are getting. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently released new data from 2006 about recess. And in 68% of elementary schools, students in all grades are getting recess. So a little over two-thirds. Not too bad, although we have a little ways to go. The good news is that 97% of elementary schools have recess for students in at least one grade, and probably more. And so we do know that schools are recognizing its value. We have to encourage those schools to provide that recess to all students. And among the schools that do provide recess, they are providing on average 5 days a week and 30 minutes a day. So that's very encouraging.
If recess is just kids running around outside, though, why do they need it in their school day? Why isn't afternoon enough time?
As we all know, kids are very busy, as we adults are, and we have them very programmed. We also have kids whose parents are working and involved in other responsibilities. And so we need our schools to make time to help children to be physically active. Recess is such a critical element of a student's education and their overall development on a lot of different fronts, from a health perspective, for their social development, as well as learning that takes place in the school, in the classroom, and the ability to help kids run off steam and run off that fidgetiness that we see sometimes in the classroom and be ready to concentrate and to attend to their classwork.
So actually giving them some time off makes their productive academic time a little better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you would find many, many, many classroom teachers who would tell you that.
Sort of like with grown-ups. If we don't get some time off, if we work too late and we're overtired, we don't do as well.
That's true. And in fact, I found something I found kind of humorous on the American Association for the Child's Right to Play website, where they compare the child and adult having recess, if you will. And sort of a play on words, but I think a very good analogy is that in our judicial system, or even in our Congress, we think of these as the very highest echelons of productivity and intellectual work, they call recesses. They actually
called a recess. You're right.
It is called a recess, right?
A little different than the kids have, but the same idea.
The same notion that everybody needs a break and they need to re-energize, reinvigorate themselves.
What do the professionals recommend as appropriate components for recess?
I'd like to answer that with a couple pieces of information. The first is, what are the national recommendations for how much physical activity youth and adolescents need in general? And what we know is that kids need at least 60 minutes a day of moderate to vigorous physical activity. And what we mean by moderate to vigorous is something that really gets their heart pumping, gets them breathing hard, something where they're really exercising their muscles and moving oxygen around their body. And so those 60 minutes can come in a lot of different ways, but certainly the school has an important role to play because kids spend half or more of their daily time in schools. And so physical education, a curricular subject, is a very important part of that. But recess at the elementary school level is another important part of getting that 60 minutes of physical activity each day. We also want to make sure that schools are providing students with the nationally recommended amount of recess. And that recommendation is every day of the week for at least 20 minutes for all grade levels in the elementary schools.
Now, how does that square with the 60 minutes a day business of physical activity?
The 20 minutes contributes to that 60 minutes. Those 60 minutes or more are the amount of physical activity that we want kids to get every day in any form, from school, from home, from community activities.
So everybody out there, if your child is not walking to school, then think of all those wonderful chores you can have them do that are physically active. As long as we're on the subject, do you want to differentiate between recess and PE class?
I'd be happy to, because they are both so important, and yet they're quite different. Physical education is a curricular area or a subject, just like math, just like reading, just like health education. And what happens in physical education is that children learn the knowledge and the skills that they need to be active, and that helps them build their confidence too. We know that both children and adults participate in things that they feel comfortable and confident in doing. And so we have certified physical education teachers imparting that knowledge, helping those children develop skills. And in turn, they need places to utilize and practice those skills. And recess is an example of a place where that can happen. And so while these are very different and we need both, they're also complementary. We want recess to be a place that children are exhibiting the positive behaviors that they've learned in physical education class.
Also, PE is very structured, and recess by its nature, right, is unstructured.
Exactly. At recess, kids have lots of choices about what their favorite activities are and how they want to spend their time.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion in defense of recess.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Charlene Bergeson about the importance of recess. How can adults decide whether our children's recess measures up to the components that the professionals recommend?
The first thing I would say is find out what's going on in your child's school. A lot of people are very surprised when they find out that their children don't have recess or only have it once every couple days or only have it for 10 minutes. They just assumed that they have it every day. I can tell you, I've heard so many parents say, "You're kidding. I had recess every day." So investigate and find out what's going on in your child's school. Observe recess. Go and see what's going on that field. See what kind of equipment and activities are going on and how the children are interacting. Once you know what's going on in your child's school, be an advocate for what is good for them. Talk to the principal. Get the PTA to think about what they want for their children. Certainly, administrators understand that parents are the taxpayers, are the customers in the school, and they will listen and they want to make parents happy. But the parents have to be willing to express what their children need.
I think of all the shows we've ever done that have to do with education or children in schools at all, the most important point that is always made is be your child's advocate. There's nobody else there to do it. You have to do it. And the point about being sure that you get a group with you means that your advocacy can be much more effective, I think.
Right. In fact, there's a national initiative going on that's sponsored by Cartoon Network, the children's TV station, and it's called Rescuing Recess.
Oh,
and the organization I represent is a partner, National Association of Elementary School Principals, National PTA, and many more. And the picture I'm trying to paint here is that elementary school principals and parents are a part of this decision-making process and know what's good for kids, and we all need to come together and make sure that our kids are getting recess. It's a great initiative, and there's a website that can be explored, and it tells how parents can get involved.
Why is it important for the recess period to be unstructured, like we were talking about, as opposed to the regular PE classes?
Well, one of the benefits of recess, as we were talking about, is the development of social skills. And what happens in an unstructured environment is that the kids have to be the leaders. And they have to make decisions, they have to work out disagreements and conflicts, and find a way to try to meet all the different children's needs. And so it is a really important growth experience for them to understand that they can lead activities and that they can make decisions about what is in their best interest.
What's interesting to me to have seen over the years is, depending on what the subject matter is and the activity is, a child can be a leader in one situation and a follower in another. And that's a very important thing, I would think,
right,
for a child to have as a skill.
Yes, absolutely. Not everybody can be the leader all the time. And it is hard for some kids. It's hard for some kids to not be the leader. It's hard for some kids to step up to that role. And that's one of the beautiful things about the recess environment, is that there should be, and there usually are, multiple activities going on. And so kids can align themselves with an activity that is of interest to them, is comfortable to them, and then their strengths as a leader or as someone who participates in a cooperative manner will shine through.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about activities and being active and so forth. Does recess always have to be active?
Overall, I would say the answer to that is yes. And that is because one of the most important benefits of recess is the health benefits. We have an epidemic of obesity going on in our country, part of which is caused by inadequate amounts of physical activity. And we need that time for kids to be active and develop their cardiovascular, heart health, and muscular strength and endurance, and all the good things that contribute to a healthy lifestyle. At the same time, I think there is a place for some less vigorous activities. The idea, again, is that kids are interacting with one another and developing social skills. So I don't think it's an absolute, but going back to the notion also of kids running off steam, letting stress out, preparing themselves for the rest of their day, maybe their afternoon, the more moderate to vigorously active they are, the more likely that they're going to be ready to sit still back in the classroom and attend to their schoolwork.
Have you noticed in the studies that you've paid attention to any long-term benefits for kids who've had recess every day, all through elementary school, for example?
Well, I can't say that the studies would be very specific about recess making that contribution, but what the studies do tell us is that kids who participate in physical activity, such as those who meet the recommended amounts of 60 minutes a day or are close to that, that they get great benefits from participating in physical activity. Again, those health benefits, self-esteem benefits, and less stress, less depression, that physical activity is a strategy for helping kids to be not only physically healthy, but emotionally and socially healthy too. So We do know that kids who are active are going to have these benefits. We also know that kids who are active are going to go back into the classroom and be able to focus better.
Okay. How can schools keep the open-ended playtime, which we call recess, from being a fertile ground for bullies?
Well, I'm glad you asked this question because we all know what a problem bullying has become in schools and what negative effects it has on the kids who are on the receiving end of the bullying. And physical activity, because it is a behavior where kids are excited and enthusiastic, it can be a more aggressive type of environment. We need to be very careful in this regard. I think the most important thing is that bullying in any situation cannot be minimized or controlled if we're just intervening at that moment. The thing that needs to happen is the teaching of positive social skills, of cooperative skills, before we put kids in an environment where they're just interacting with other kids and not being directed by adults. And so physical education class is a perfect place with that physical activity environment to teach kids why bullying is inappropriate, to have consequences if there is any, and to just teach the skills that students need to get along in a physical environment. We need to teach kids not to be involved in bullying in all parts of the school environment. And then when they find themselves at recess or after school in their neighborhoods or at the community parks, and they're in situations where they're working together, we're going to be much less likely to see that negative behavior.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about the importance of recess.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Charlene Bergeson about defense of recess. Can we talk about recess as something where teachers are there? There are grown-ups there. This sort of sounds the way we've been talking, like it's sort of Lord of the Flies and have a good time and everything will work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is critical that recess is properly supervised by adults. But being supervised and being taught like a classroom subject is very different. We want to train adult supervisors to facilitate recess in a way that still lets kids be kids and make decisions, but at the same time lets them know that there are adults looking out for their welfare and their physical and their emotional safety. The types of behaviors that we want those adult supervisors to demonstrate are things like moving around the recess area just to show the kids that they're checking in on their games and they're watching to see what's going on. The adults can also be great cheerleaders. They can say and make positive comments. Oh, that was a great kick. Oh, I like how you complimented your friend. Those are the type of attributes in adult recess supervisors that are going to help create a really positive recess environment.
It sounds like they can reinforce the kinds of behaviors that they'd like to see, or also reinforce supporting certain children who need to be brought into the mix a little bit.
Right. Adult supervisors can encourage a child to join into a game. They might even encourage the kids playing a game of how they can be more inclusive of some of the other children. Sometimes children need that nudge or that suggestion in order to include the others. There's also a fine line between the need to supervise and once in a while the need to intervene on a situation. And while we talked about how important it is for unstructured time and kid-led, kid-directed time, we also know that children have to be in a physically and emotionally safe environment. And if there's something going on, bullying or just other negative behaviors, it is absolutely critical that those adults intervene. And it doesn't have to be in a derogatory manner. It can be in a very educational manner. The adult could step in and say, tell me about what was just happening and how you felt about that and how we might change that. The adult can really be the guide to help children recognize a negative situation and work through it.
It would seem to me this would be a time when kids could be creative in a way that they would normally not be able to. I'm thinking of a number of things I've seen on elementary school playgrounds where kids would spontaneously get a whole group of children together and they would build a fort. Mm-hmm. Or they would do something that wasn't necessarily a game where there were teams or they were kicking a ball or something, but they were using their large muscle capacities to do something quite creative and different.
Right. Well, in fact, one of the things that a lot of physical education teachers do is have children create their own games based on using certain skills or certain pieces of equipment that the teacher has been using in the classroom. And so that's a great thing that can happen on the playground as well, is children creating their own games. And in fact, a lot of games that exist may be more appropriate based on how difficult they are or the complexity of their rules. They may be more appropriate for older kids. And so having children be creative enough to recognize that they want to simplify it or they want to do it a different way is a neat learning tool for those kids.
We've talked about the playground and outdoors and so forth and so on. What about situations where you can't go outdoors?
Kids certainly need recess, whether it's outdoor or indoor. And there are definitely weather-related times where kids cannot go outdoors. In the inside, the options for being active may be less. There may not be a space that's big enough for kids to be quite active. And that's where the other types of more sedentary activities that we've talked about could come in. Board games, Chinese jump rope.
I would think that the things with the tumbling mats and all that kind of stuff, the gymnastic kind of things, would be things they could do indoors that would be active. Is that right?
Sure. It's all dependent on the space that a school has, but if there's a will, there's a way. There's certainly lots of games that don't take a lot of space, and this even applies to outdoor spaces in schools that don't have a lot of outdoor space. Four square type games, where kids move a ball around within the four squares. I also think that we sometimes underestimate when it's okay for kids to go outside, even when it's cooler. When kids are active, they're warm, their blood's pumping, and put a good coat on them and a good pair of shoes, send them outside. It's really important to get kids outside. The fresh air has benefits. And in fact, research studies do show that kids are more active outside than inside. And so that even applies to the home environment.
Well, this has obviously been a very important topic, and I know all the parents out there are thinking, boy, we better check and see whether our kid has recess and so on. But before we leave, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue further some of these issues we've been talking about?
Well, the association that I represent, the National Association for Sport and Physical Education, has a position statement called Recess for Elementary School Students. And it's very user-friendly, but it's also substantiated with research citations. And it tells parents, administrators, school board members, not only what amount of recess is needed for kids, which, as I think we said before, is every day of the week, at least 20 minutes. The position statement also gives characteristics of a safe and appropriate recess program. And so it could be utilized like a checklist. It could be utilized to see how the school is measuring up.
Okay. And if parents wanted to access that, what would be the website?
It's available at www.naspeinfo.org. And there's a pull down that says publications and then a line that says position statements, and it can be found there. Another excellent organization that has resources supporting recess is the American Association for the Child's Right to Play. And their website is www.ipausa.org.
And you talked about something called Rescuing Recess.
Right. Rescuing Recess is that tremendous national initiative to keep recess in our elementary schools, brought to us by the Cartoon Network. And that website is www.rescuingrecess.com.
Well, Charlene Bergeson, this has been such a treat to be able to talk with you about recess and its importance to our children. So thank you so very much for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure. It's such an important topic for parents to care about, and I hope that they will go to their schools and see what's going on in their schools.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 355. Please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. And tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into. Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. That's www.parentsperspective.org. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today, it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. And thank you for helping us to continue to work for you. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're so glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.